Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the epilogue to Sefer Yirmiyahu. We have now learned through 52 prokem, the entire Sefer Yirmiyahu, and I wanted to address in this last segment two questions which are left outstanding. These are questions which I think have been bothering us all the way through, and that is, what happened to Yirmiyahu in the end? What was his end? We only hear about his last prophecy in Egypt. We don't hear any further biographical details. And also, what about the order of the Sefer? It is clear that this Sefer seems to be out of order chronologically. So let's deal with both of those questions, and so that this will be our epilogue in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So first of all, what actually happened in Yirmiyahu's end? So the last we know of it is that he went off to Mitzrayim. He gave the prophecy that Nebuchadnezzar would come to Mitzrayim and conquer the Jews, who felt that a safe haven there. The Jews didn't believe him. That was really the end of his Nebuchadnezzar. It is interesting that the pasuk in Kohelet says Vatishover kad al mabua v'narotz agalgal el abor. Talks about the breaking open of a barrel. What's this referring to? This metaphor. Rashi says, quoting Chazal in the pasuk in Kohelet Yudbeis Vav, Kadosh shel Baruch meneria al mabuah shel Yirmiyah. This is referring to the flask of Baruch ben Neria and Yirmiyahu. What happened? Sheshneim galu leBavel. Both of them were taken exile into Bavel. Upasku milimudame biinui haderech. Tchila legalu Mitzrayim shehegla Yochanan ben Koreach. Ukeshehechriv Nevuchadnezzar Mitzrayim hegla leBavel. That means to say that they were taken to Bavel, where after Nevuchadnezzar, like he prophesied, did come into Mitzrayim and was taken to Bavel. So ultimately, Yirmiyahu became an exile. And was in Bavel with the rest of the Jews, which sort of is the full circle of everything he's been saying all the way along. And remember, he himself wanted to put himself in chains before Nebuchadnezzar took him out of them to go to Bavel himself, feeling the plight and the pain of his brethren. There is another option, which the Medrash Agadah in Bereshis Lamed says, and that is that actually he was killed by the people, by the Jews themselves, in Egypt. Meaning, even in Mitzrayim, when he was telling them what's going to happen, they weren't interested, and they killed him, which is why, at the end of that perek there, just in Mem Dalet, that's when we see that Yirmiyahu, when it talks about the end of the prophecies of Yirmiyahu, it means the end of the prophecies, because he was killed there, which is a tragic ending to a person who was always telling the truth, despite what was going on, and ultimately died from it. It is a little strange, because Hashem said he would protect him all the way along. Nonetheless, this is what the Medrash Agadah suggests. What about his legacy? So Gemara says in Megillah on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis on 16b, a very fascinating and oblique comment. The Gemara says, Omer Rav, Vitemer Rav Shmuel Bar Marsa, Godel Talmud Torah Yosem Rimbinyan Beis HaMikdash. Talmud Torah is more important than the building of Beis HaMikdash. Shekol Zman Shebaruch Ben Neria Kayom, Loinichoi Ezra V'alai. Anytime that Baruch Ben Neria was in Bavel, that then Ezra would never ascend from Bavel to the land of Israel to start the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Ezra was, of course, one of the last prophets. The Gemara and Megillah attributes him as being potentially Malachi, but he has his own Sefer in Ksuvim anyway. And it is interesting that it is saying that he stayed in Bavel as long as Baruch ben Neria was there. Going with the Chazal quoted in Koheles, that Baruch and Yirmiyahu must have ended up in Bavel. So Ezra wanted to stay in Bavel because he had his Rebbe there, he had his teacher from the previous generation of the generation that lived in the land of Israel, whose name was Baruch ben Neria, and he stayed with him, which is almost creating a connection, a sequence, from the time of pre-destruction to post-destruction. It's almost as if the teachings of Yirmiyahu go further into the seeds of the Geula itself. Very beautiful comment the Gemara seems to be making over here. Now, let's try to move on just into the order of Yirmiyahu. It is absolutely incandescently clear that Yirmiyahu is not in chronological order. And that is obvious because although Yirmiyahu was the prophet through five kings, he was the prophet through Yoshiyahu, then Yehoahaz, his son, his other son Yehoiakim, then Yehoiakim's son Yechoniah, and finally Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, three of the main ones, and then the two minor ones in between for 3 months each. We know that it is clear that it oscillates. We see some parts of Ezekiel earlier, the parts of Yoshiyahu seems to be scattered amongst, Yoyakim and Ezekiel gets switched around many times, Yechoniah as well. It is clear that the Sefer is out of chronological order. So how is this? Why is this? It makes it so difficult to learn it. What's going on over here? So I've looked around and I've got to be honest, most Sfarim do not deal with this question. Most Sfarim acknowledge the issue and they leave it. I was fortunate enough to be able to find in the Abarbanel, in his commentaries in the 34th Perek, Lamed Dalad pasuk ches, the Abarbanel says a fascinating thing. The Abarbanel has a number of comments about the order in specific locations. He has one of them. And in that section, he says, the reason it is out of order is because Yirmiyahu wrote this in exile. Meaning, when did Yirmiyahu have the flexibility to be able to write his sefer? It was only when he actually was in exile. Now let's imagine this. That means to say that he was recalling to himself all the sayings, all the prophecies, all the experiences that he had gone through in a place of disarray. If you can imagine Lahavdil, it's sort of like it's the commentator in Auschwitz. It's the person who's already there in the valley of death, having experienced all this, who's now through the trying to grapple with the recollections of the story that had happened to get to this place. And of course, the stream of consciousness, the sort of the motion of this, the discombobulation, the lack of a clear order, is a function of his experience at this moment of being in Golus itself. Very fascinating, very tenable, very beautiful idea, very sad idea about how we are experiencing this. We're experiencing it through the mind of someone who is now already in Golus. That's what the Abarbanel argues. However, there are those who argue that there is more of a structure. I'd like to share with you one idea, and that is in the commentary of the Da'at Mikra on Sefer Yirmiyahu in the introduction. Rabbi Chaim Angel pointed me in this direction, and it is really remarkable. He has a section in the introduction where he talks about the order, and he points out a very fascinating thing. He says, if you look at Megillah in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu talks about writing three Megillahs. The first Megillah that he references is in Perek Lamed Vav Beis, where he talks about Baruch writing the scroll to that's going to be read in front of the people in the Beis Hamikdash, and ultimately in front of Yoyakim, and this is the scroll that Yoyakim burns. That's scroll number one. There's another scroll referenced in Perek Chof Hei Yud Gimel, which is called a Nevuah, a Megillah Sefer to the nations. And there's a third scroll referenced in Perek Lamed Pasuk Beis, which is a Megillah on the Geula. So again, three Megillahs are referenced in Sefer Yirmiyahu. One to be read in front of the people and the king. Number two is the one to the nations. Number three, the Megillah on the Geula. Well, can we identify those as sections in the Sefer? Quite clearly, the Megillah of the Geula is clearly Perek Lamed to Lamed Gimel. That's the sections which are more upbeat in Yirmiyahu, where he talks about the ultimate redemption. It's a very small and fleeting area. In fact, the Da'at Mikra argues that even Lamed Dalad and Lamed Hay, which talks about the freeing of slaves and the Rechav family who don't drink wine and don't buy land, as are talking about aspects of Geula. When you free your slaves just because you need them not to rebel against you, that's a fake aspect of Geula. The Rechav family was people who had clearly, Yonadab and Rechav, were clearly living Geula even though they were in Golos. So that's part of the Geula section, Megillah and Geula. Where was the Megillah to the nations? Well, that's obviously from Mem Vav to Nun Aleph, the last section of the Sefer, essentially, excluding the last Perek itself, which is a summary. It is clearly a Nevuah to all the nations surrounding the land of Israel. That's a separate section. So you have two Megillahs. What about the Megillah to Yehoyakim? We know that Baruch goes and reads this. You know, Yirmiyahu is in a compromised situation. He can't go in himself. Baruch goes and reads this in the Beis Hamikdash. People hear him. They bring him in front of the governors. The governors bring him in front of the king. The king burns the sefer. What is it referring to? So we know a few clues about that sefer. Number one is it's supposed to be Hashem commands, or Yirmiyahu commands Baruch to write down all the nevuahs that he'd set up till now. This is the fourth year of the year of Yoyakim, so it must be all the nevuahs up till then. But the problem is that Baruch is able to read it a number of times to the numerous shifts in the Beis HaMikdash, and he's able to read it a few times to all the different people to hear, so it can't be too long. So what Megillah could this be? So Chazal say, as we learned when we learned this through, is that it's referring to Megillas Eicha. That was what was burnt. However, the Da'as Mikra suggests that maybe it's possible to say that if you look in the Sefer itself, we'll go from the beginning, the first Perek and three Psukim talk about Yirmiyahu's initiation. So that can't be what he's referring to because that's his own personal Nevuah. But from Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet all the way to Perek Ches, towards the middle of the Perek Yudzayin, Ches Yudzayin, it could be, in fact, the Megillas Sefer that he's reading. So Yoyakim includes all the themes: punishment, warning, destruction, call to tshuva, praying to prophecy to the nations. They're all included in that area. Why do you have to stop mid-Perek Ches? Because that's where the Haftarah of Eicha, of where it sounds much harsher, it sounds already into the times of Tzidkiyahu. So that's probably a little later. But that is potentially where this Megillah is that was read to Yoyakim, and this is what he potentially burned, and that is potentially readable in that span of time. The Da'at Mikra goes on further to say, well, there must be another two Megillahs which conclude the whole Sefer itself. If you look at 36 to 45, Lamed Vav to Mem Hei, that is really the what happens in the last years of Yirmiyahu's life. That's what's happening in the times of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. That's what's happening when he is put in prison numerous times and he's saved and he goes to Golus and the whole all those happenings. The Da'at Mikra argues that maybe those are written by Baruch ben Neriah almost as a biography of what was going on in Yirmiyahu's life at that time, which is why 36 and 45, which are the opening and closing chapters of that section, 36 and 45, are not in chronological sequence, because it's Baruch's biography of Yirmiyahu, which is the fourth Megillah. And finally, the fifth Megillah, he argues, is from Perek Yud Zayin to Chof Tes, which seems to be on the general theme about leaders. Leaders who are misappropriating their power, false Nevi'im, bad kings, bad prophets, bad Kohanim, and all the way through. And it's interesting, because then, in that section, Tzidkiyahu, Yoyachin, Yoyakim are all mentioned, but they're mentioned in a separate, this is a separate Megillah, because this wasn't referring to the chronological sequence, this was referring to identifying bad leadership. Which leaves only really one gap, which is left over in the Megillah, which is really Perek Ches to Yud Zayin, which is possibly what he could have added to the Megillah that was burnt the first time round later on. If you look at that from this perspective, that means that when Yirmiyahu came down to Golus, according to this line of thinking, he really had five separate Megillahs. He had a Megillah talking about Geula, he had a Megillah which was sort of the history of his Nevuos to Yoyakim, with its addition. There was a Megillah about to the nations, there was a Megillah over here which was a prophecy about the bad leadership. And the biography of Baruch ben Neriah. When he came to Mitzrayim, what he did was they sewed together these five Megillahs to complete what would be Sefer Yirmiyahu, with the introduction of how he's initiated to power and the summary at the end of the summary of destruction as in Perek Nun Beis. If that's true, it accounts for perhaps the intricacies and the lack of order, because it was really five separate portions which ultimately Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah summed together to create the Sefer of Yirmiyahu, which gives us a very bit different perspective, which is why that is overarching, that is more important than the chronological order, is the different developments over here. In the meantime, I've hoped that this has been a rewarding limud. I hope this has been an uplifting limud, despite the fact that it's sometimes very hard to read, because sometimes as much as things have changed, things stay the same, and the messages of Yirmiyahu reach out to us today, here, every single day. Hopefully we can continue to carry on learning together as we enter Sefer Yecheskel. What I'm going to be doing now is, owing to this new order of the Da'at Mikra, I'm going to create two separate playlists on SoundCloud to follow. One will be a playlist which will be in the order of these five Megillos of the Da'at Mikra, meaning to say framed in this order, which will make it easier to you learn Yirmiyahu in five sections rather than as one Sefer. And I'm going to create another playlist in the order of Rabbi Binyamin Lau's Sefer, which reorganizes it in a chronological sequence according to the way he sees it, which is also makes it much more of a story-esque experience. Just another two ways to access this. In the meantime, I hope you feel achieved. I certainly do, having learned with you, and looking forward to continuing my Chayal HaChayal. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.